Praise the Lord. 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 Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, today is the beginning of Advent. We don't light the candles or have the hanging things or anything like that, but we don't deny that it's a good idea. Every year, people, I guess you would say, do Advent, and they do it in anticipation of the birth of Christ. Something turned on. And I think that's okay. I mean, it's fine. It's great. It's grand. It's wonderful. It's anticipation of his birthday. Little kids anticipate their birthday. The little kid in our house, Michael, he always anticipates his birthday. He tries to get his in between everybody else's. He knows where his belongs, but, you know, if he can get an extra birthday out of it, he will do that. And so we do anticipate the celebration of the Lord. And that's about all I know about that. But I can get into anticipating his birth. But I spend more time anticipating his return. I anticipate his appearing in my life. I anticipate his appearing in other people's lives. I anticipate the touch of God, the presence of God. I look forward this afternoon. I will go to jail. And before I get there, I'll be looking forward to the Word of God dropping in to their hearts. Because he always does. He always does. Whether they expect it or not, whether they are rejecting it or not, it drops in. And you see the Word drop in. And I always tell them, I said, here's how you know the Word dropped in, because it gets into your heart and it nods your head. You know, and they'll look, I'll go, you know. God is perfectly capable and perfectly does surprise us from time to time. You know, we have those, oh, wow, things. And a thought that I've always considered in Corinthians, when Paul is talking to them, and he talks about the many revelations that he's had of God, you know, but he said, lest I should get too proud, I have a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan. And I prayed about this. I have prayed about this. I'm talking about Paul saying, I prayed about this. I prayed about this too. And I'm saying what I'm saying. I'm not saying God said this is the solution to this thing, okay? I'm just using logic that God can give us, and I read that, and every time I read it, it says the same thing. A messenger from Satan. And then he goes on to say, and I've prayed about this three times I prayed about it, and every time God said, my grace is sufficient for you. Now, I don't know, you don't know, nobody knows if he only prayed three times about it. We don't know that he was never healed, do we? You know, we don't know that before they killed him for serving Jesus, that he said, just a moment, just so you know, I got that flesh, that thorn removed. We don't know that. And we don't know he wasn't worried about, well, I still got that stinking thorn. God didn't give him the thorn. Do you think that's true? It says it was from Satan. Okay. Since it was from Satan, God's messengers were usually like Gabriel. An angel of the Lord came with a message. The messenger from God is an angel. This was a thorn in my flesh of the devil. Because God is good and the devil is bad, right? And so I received that. And I want to tell you, folks, I prayed and God said, my grace is sufficient. I prayed again. He told me the same thing. I prayed again. He told me the same thing. I have decided that God's grace is sufficient. So let's go on. But people get hung up on things. My question has always been, why do people want to spend all their time deciding whether something is from God or not? And if something bad happens, they say, well, God did this to teach me a lesson. Maybe it's a messenger from Satan to just get you thinking God did it. And if you think God did it, that sort of messes with your prayer life, right? I mean, if something goes wrong and we think, you know, was that you coughing, sweetheart? Was she coughing? That was you coughing, right? You were coughing. God didn't do that to you. Right? Right. God doesn't cause problems. I know people want him to cause problems because it excuses behavior, I think. But the truth is, God does not cause problems. At least I will never ascribe a problem to God. Amen. I absolutely refuse to. I won't do it, can't do it, I won't agree with it. I will delicately maneuver in with the sword of the Spirit to try to root that problem out from people, because they always, we don't know why God does these things, we just have faith. I don't have faith in God doing those things. You know? And so my question is, why does they get hung up on the messenger from Satan rather than on God said, my grace is sufficient for you? You know? Well, if that's what Paul meant, he should have spent more time talking about it. Let me tell you something. He never mentioned the messenger from Satan again, but he talked about grace a lot. Maybe he was just clarifying, because can you imagine a guy that walks around and he was just like Peter, shadow healed people, a sweaty handkerchief healed people, he prayed and healed people, he stood preaching and said he looked intently at a guy and said, whoa, I can see that he has faith to be healed. Get up! What kind of a thing is that to do in front of everybody? But he said, get up. And the guy got up. You know? So, I mean, we're talking about a guy that talks to God and God listens to him. But I'm sure that he had people just, you know, Jesus hanging on the cross. He said, well, heal yourself. You healed so many others. Can't you imagine that when he wasn't well, you know? I mean, it's like on those occasions where my throat don't work, you know? I mean, I hope you don't sit there and think, well, what did you do wrong? Can't be good when you can't even get it done. I said, well, I'm going to keep working on it. His grace is sufficient. But you know, but you can imagine that there were people saying to Paul, huh, where is that great God that heals everybody? Maybe Paul was just answering their responses. I'll tell you one thing about this, it humbles me. Yeah. I'm pretty humbled when I can't sing, when I can't hit a note, when I can't get it out, you know? I mean, it's kind of not like, oh, geez, this is embarrassing. No, it don't matter. We're going to praise the Lord. Because he's still worthy of praise. Maybe Paul was just answering all those people. Maybe, I don't know. It doesn't say. He just sort of, man, I'm telling you, I have had such revelations from God, but so I don't get too proud, there was a messenger from Satan. I want you to prepare yourself. There will be messengers from Satan that come running at you. But Paul says, look, I prayed about this. And God said distinctly, my grace is sufficient for you. So, why would people want to spend all their time trying to decide, did God do that to Paul? when he clarified, it wasn't God, it was the devil. He came to do his best, and God said, "It ain't nothing. My grace is sufficient." And Paul believed him. And he wasn't too proud to say, "I have prayed three times. I don't like this. I don't want this in my life. But I know the first time I thought maybe he was messing with me. The second time I thought, come on, God, I'm Paul. The third time I thought, okay, your grace is sufficient." Because you see, the idea, you know, faith is a wonderful thing. And we pray, and you know, I'm not going to get hung up. Some people say, "Well, I pray once and I never pray again." And some people say, "I'm going to pray and I'm going to keep on praying." Keep on praying. Don't let doubt have its way. Keep on. It's not like you don't believe in God if you pray about something again. It's not like you're of lesser faith because, you know. And I think strange things when I'm thinking about things, you know. And I was driving down the road and I was thinking about this because I had written in my journal. I had said, "Okay, this is just a thought, Lord. We're going to talk about this more." And I'm driving down the road and it comes to my mind. Now, this isn't God saying, "Well, remember this." But Kenneth Hagin said, "You know, I haven't even had a headache for all this time." You know, I mean. But you know what? Now, this is not knocking anything. He died. He did die. He did die. And there have been people that have been pretty sure, you know, that they were going to live until Jesus appeared. And they did. They lived until he appeared. And they went home. But that's okay. That's just we all have a relationship with God. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. We got this thing with God, but let's not get hung up on things that are not God. Okay? You know, I mean, people get hung up. You know, there were people that had a hang up about when our son Josiah died. They didn't have him baptized. He was dead. That's not being like crude and rude. It's just he died. And he was with Jesus. To me, I would look a little foolish if I was going, "I baptized." He's gone. But there were people, you know, like we couldn't even be Christian if we thought that way. Okay, you know, that's a messenger from Satan. You'll hear a lot of messages from Satan. Look at the Pharisees. Okay, the verse I used for this was beware of the yeast of the Pharisees. Now, everybody that doesn't think the way that I think is not a Pharisee. Don't get me wrong on that. But Jesus said, "Beware of the yeast of the Pharisees." Think about the Pharisees. The beliefs of the Pharisees. They refused to believe that Jesus was who he said he was because he wasn't doing what they thought he should do. Isn't that right? And so they refused to believe. And so they would ask him, you know, they'd ask him, "Are you the Son of God?" He'd say, "Yeah, I am." "Boo, let's kill him." Wait a second, you asked the question. We know you're from God. We have no doubt that you're from God. Because the things you do, they have to be God. We're convinced that you got God on some kind of a string. You know, things happen. But this isn't what we believe in. This isn't what we think in. So you can't be Messiah. So just tell us you're something else. He said, "I said what I said." I said what I said. And you don't believe me. His own disciples, he said, "You know, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father." but we don't understand. If you never have anything in your life that you don't understand, there's something wrong. Or you're smarter than God. There are things he doesn't do, think, and act the way that we do. He said, look, my thoughts, some things are just beyond your finding out. I know the Bible says get understanding. Well, if he says get understanding, then I can get understanding. Well, I'm telling you what I understand from this, but I'm not telling you God said it. Now, I'm talking just like real smart people did. He's saying, it's I, not the Lord. This is how I think. This will help you if you just go with how I think. That's what, you know, Paul said that. Peter said that once, you know. I mean, I'm just trying to help you, but I'm not going to tell you this is straight from God. But if it helps, it might be. There's nothing in what I'm thinking that's going to hinder anything, and there's nothing in what I'm sharing that is not true. And I was doing my best to clear things as I went through the devotion, because if I wrote something that was going to be, you know, an abomination, I wanted God to say, better not go there. There are times when you actually do have things that God wants you to say, and you're thinking, better not go there. You know? Why am I messing with this? Well, because I was seeking the Lord about it. And because for a lot of years, I've just said from myself that if it's bad, it's not God. That's it. And I've sowed those kind of thoughts into your head that if it's bad, it's not God. But I keep hearing, and so I was praying about it, and I was praying about it in the night, and the word hang-ups came into my mind. And I thought, exactly. That's what messes with so many people just walking in all the goodness of God, is they get hung up. They get on a detour, you know. In the natural, detours cost you time, right? Yeah, you know. And sometimes detours are not necessarily clearly marked. And so if you're in a place where you've never been before, if you're in a city or something, and you're on this detour, and there's not a sign that, you know, either somebody takes down the arrow or there isn't an arrow, or you've gone so long for one direction, you're thinking, wait a second, there's something wrong. No detour lasts this long. Some detours do last that long. And you know, I told you the story where there was a beautiful highway going north as we were going west, and we wanted to go north, and a beautiful highway. What kind of a fool would I be not to take that beautiful highway? Now, there probably was a sign that said road ends somewhere, but it's in the middle of the night, and maybe I don't read the sign, but it looks good until the road ends. I don't know why the road just ended. It's like for years and years, when we would go through Dallas, there were always those overpasses built, and they ended. Just hanging there. The rest of the road, not there. And you think, that's a little crazy, you know? That's a little crazy. My brother tells me that those are all done now. But there's new ones up that just end. It's like, well, anyway, you know, detours, we don't need to take detours when it comes to our walk with God. Unless the Lord says, pull over and sit down. And I don't, you know, there's a lot of stuff in the Bible that just, like, you would think that Paul wrote, you know, half of everything that he wrote about those thorns. Because people, there's books written about the thorns. I think there's more books written about grace, but there's books written about the thorns. I'm not going to write a book about the thorns. In fact, you may be wondering when I'm going to get done with the thorns and we'll just go home. Because it could become a thorn. But the thing is that there are things that are thorns in our lives. Some of those things are our own thorns, our own attitudes, our own things that we do, that we would not do, but then we do them. I think Paul wrote about that. Things I don't want to do, I do. I mean, you know, he and Barnabas got in a fight over Mark. These are men of God. These are holy men of God. These are God men greatly used of God, and they got in such a fight, they split up. That's a perfect place for a thorn to grow. You know? I mean, I think there had to be a couple of times. Maybe that's one of those things that Paul, I knew I shouldn't have done it. Have you ever continued in a conversation that you knew you shouldn't have continued in? Or continued in a line of thinking? I mean, I prayed about getting irritated. I asked the Lord, help me. I don't want to get irritated. And the next day, he gave me so many opportunities to not be irritated. And I would laugh, and I thought he was laughing at me too. He said, you wanted help. But don't turn me over to my own devices. But his grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. You know? Yeah. Yeah. Paul, for whatever reason, I would guess he wrote by the Holy Spirit, but for whatever reason, he just sort of let them know that I've had this thorn in my flesh. I accept the fact that there are thorns in our flesh. I accept the fact that sometimes I'm the most sticky thorn in my flesh. And pressing down that sticky thorn in my flesh is up to me to do. My wife probably joins me in prayer when we're not together. She probably prays, Lord, help him not to be irritated. She might even sometimes pray, Lord, help me not to irritate him. Maybe. But I imagine if I'm irritated, that's my problem. That's your problem. Yeah. That's kind of irritating too, isn't it? But Paul, you know, he just said, look, I got a thorn in my flesh. It was a messenger from Satan. Now, I don't know about you. I don't like the devil having an open channel to me. I don't want to follow his messages. You see, Paul wasn't confused about who it was. He didn't say, God fixed my goose, so I wouldn't get too uppity. He told Satan to come and get me with a thorn. No, he didn't say that. He said, I have a thorn in my flesh. It's a messenger from Satan. I prayed 3 times that it would be gone. If it was from God, he wouldn't be praying for God to do something, would he? If God makes me sick, then I guess I'll just wait and see how he's going to get me out of this sickness. I'm not going to start saying, well, looks like this is the last time. This could be the last time. I don't know, you know. Looks like I could die. I could die from this one. No, I'm not going to declare that. He's come that I might have life. And then I might have it forevermore. And to me, if God told Paul that his grace was sufficient, he was saying to me, my grace is sufficient. It don't matter what you run into, Roger. My grace is sufficient. Don't get hung up. Don't get detoured. Don't try figuring out the thorn, because you can't figure out. Because you're going to wonder why I would let the devil give you a thorn. And then you're going to wonder what you did to deserve a thorn. And then you're liable to ask somebody else that you think knows a whole bunch, why do you suppose God would give me this thorn? And if I ask the wrong person, they're going to say, well, you know, we don't know why God does these things. That's why I will never agree. I will never approve the idea that God did it. Now, if somebody wants to believe God did it, that's their privilege. But they better not tell me, because I'm going to suggest that God's grace is sufficient for everything. Think if we would have known when we were younger. And we would have just always figured that God's grace was sufficient. The drama of junior high would have been so much simpler, you know? Then we wouldn't have been thinking, if junior high is this way, what's high school going to be? You know, if we would have known. But now we do know, and yet maybe sometimes we get tripped. And when we're just about to fall in the ditch, we call out to God. But if we just keep going on and on and on and on, trying to decide, okay, is this one from God? Is this one from the devil? Well, it could be from God, because you know, God gave Paul that thorn in the flesh. God did not give Paul that thorn in the flesh. Did not, he did not, he did not. Paul said it was a messenger from Satan. It is not God. Do not blame my God. Right? Right? But just like when Jesus would explain to the Pharisees that he was who he said that he was, and they didn't like what he said because they already had their other plans, so it is that some people just want God to be responsible for the thorns. I don't know why. Maybe it's because we'd hate to think that the devil is working in someone's life. That the devil has found an inroad. I have terrible news for you. Sometimes the devil is successful. But that's, and not always, but that's, a lot of that has to do with our willingness to let him work. He does come to steal, kill, and destroy. And he is successful. Yesterday I walked into the nursing home, and Sandy Saul was saying, my car got stolen. I heard her telling somebody else, my car got stolen. I said, what are you talking about? They were down in Sioux Falls. They went to bed, their car was there. They got up, their car was gone. Their car was stolen. Their car, that place is becoming a city. Their car was stolen. Well, they're Christian people. How could someone steal their car? Because the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. You know? I wonder what sin they've got that somebody was able to steal their car. What have you been doing wrong that things aren't perfect in your life? These are the kind of thoughts that come from people who think that the thorns come from God. God must be teaching you something. I am not a genius. But I'm not stupid enough that he has to do stuff like that. God don't have to do that. The devil does that all plenty. We don't need to be given God the blame for things. We don't. And so I will just say that Paul said it was a messenger from Satan. And you will get messages from the wrong side. And you will come to the edge of a cliff because of the wrong side. But his grace will open your eyes. So don't get hung up on things that are too wonderful for us to understand. Just stick for what is true. Jesus Christ did not think that it was necessary for him to be hanging out equal with God. He thought it was necessary for him to come to earth so that we all might be saved. And he gave his life so we could be saved. So it's safe to say he's not going to spend his life trying to confuse us, hurt us. He's spending his life passing out the grace of God. And so, Lord, we're thankful to you. We're hung up, Lord, and we're going to stay hung up on you. We're going to follow you. Where you lead, we will follow. What you say, we will agree with. Whatsoever our hands find to do, we're going to do it glorifying you. At every opportunity, we will be able to declare the hope that is within us. And I hope, Lord, that what I've shared, that which is of you will do a great work in the people. And that which is of me, we'll talk about. But Lord, blessed be your name forever and ever and ever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.